How many of us were here last week and heard the word Pastor Lee Martin spoke to us? Wasn't that a good, powerful word? A couple of things that was stuck out in my thinking, and I know we've all probably heard some of these before and probably have heard it before. In fact, if you've been in the church world very long, I'm sure you have. But sometimes, even though you've heard things over and over again, there's a moment when the Holy Spirit enlightens you on some things and it becomes more powerful, more alive to you, than has more meaning to you than maybe perhaps it has in the past. And there was a couple of things that really jumped out at me that he said last week, and one was that this coming year my goal has become now to find out more what I can do for God than to expect God to be doing something for me. Now, I know God wants to do abundantly above all you can think or ask. I know He wants to bless you, and that is very clear in His Word. But sometimes our mentality gets to the point of where we're looking for what God does for us, and we forget we got a part. Our part is that what can we do for the Lord? And one of the things that the Lord wants you and I to do is to go and make disciples. That's what he told us in Matthew chapter 28, I believe it was, when he talked about the Great Commission, we call it, and it's to go and make disciples. That was, ironically, that wasn't just to the pastor or a few elders in the church, but that was speaking to every born-again believer in him, and that we all need to be making disciples. And so it's important that I think that for us to set our focus today and discover in our hearts, what is it that we can do for you that will help establish or help further your kingdom and reach people's lives, learn how to come deeper into your relationship through worship, through prayer, through studying the Word of God with Him. That's always good. That's always good. And the second thing is our old definition of insanity. You know, doing the same thing over and over and over again, but every time you do it, you're hoping you'll get some kind of different result for it this time. I want to talk to us about sowing seed. That's what I'm going to be talking to us about today, but I wanted to share those two things with you. This morning, number one is the part about doing something for the Lord. It's going to take a change in our heart, a desire in our heart to be more of what God wants me to be this year. What more can I do for Him? But the other about changing circumstances in my life, I've got to change something that I have been doing if I want something different. And so I want to talk to you about sowing seed this morning. And I'm going to tell you why sowing seed is so important here in a few moments. Let's start in verse 15. Haggai chapter 2, verse 15. Let's understand that, first of all, that the people of God had not been doing what he had told them to here. You ever find yourself sometimes when you just kind of didn't do what you knew God wanted you to do? Okay, I say amen for you. We've all been there, haven't we? We've all known that the Lord has spoke to our hearts, whether it be through just a knowing in our spirit that God wanted us to accomplish something or do something for Him, or what we read in the Word of God, and for whatever reason, we didn't step out in faith and accomplish that. We didn't do that. We've all been there. We've all done that. And so here the people of Israel had found themselves in a situation where they had been disobeying God. And, you know, there are consequences to sin. And under the old covenant, before Jesus came and died on that cross, that consequence sometimes was pretty severe. Nowadays, Jesus died on that cross. He's redeemed us from sin. We've been made right with God. But still yet, sin, when we do not repent of it and we let it continue in our life, it does have, the Bible calls it wages, and that wages is death. In other words, if I've got something going on in my life that is sin and I continue to do so, sooner or later something will die unless I change, unless I repent and change my thinking, change my ways to forgiveness and so on and so forth, right? Even sometimes it could even be to the point of physical death. Sometimes it might be something in your life that you lose or whatever it might be, but there is consequences to that. But thank God that Jesus has redeemed us. And if we, the Bible says if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ, who is a substitute for our sins. We just go to Him, and 1 John 1, 9 says, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and He's just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's a pretty good scripture for everybody to know. Amen? Amen. So this is kind of where I see the people of God at this point. They had disobeyed God. Verse 15. And now carefully consider from this day forward, from before stone was laid upon stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days when one came to a heap of 20 ephahs, or bushels of barley, okay? They come looking for 20. I think even one, maybe it's God's word says something about they came for barley or wheat or something there. They came for 20, but there was only 10. And when one came to the wine vat to draw out 50 baths from the press, there was but 20. In other words, they come expecting to, they had a need of X amount of barley or X amount of wine, as we're saying here. Or they needed this amount, but when they got there, there was less than what they needed. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you had less than what you needed? I got lots of nods in the head on that one. But we've all found ourselves when we needed something from the Lord and we look in our pocketbook and there ain't that much there. Anybody ever had to pay an electric bill that cost $100 and you only had $25? Or $80? Or $99? It don't matter. If you owe $100 and you only got $99, you still ain't got enough, right? They found themselves in lack. There's lack. That's what this is. This is lack. There's not enough to meet the need, therefore it's lack. Okay? Verse 7 says, I struck you with blight and mildew and hail and all your labors of your hands, yet you did not turn to me, says the Lord. This is what I was referring to a while ago. There was a consequence to sin. And it was much more severe in the days before Christ Jesus than it is in the days after. You ought to say amen. Thank you, Lord. Because of the grace of God, He gives us so much more. He's so much more patient and long-suffering with us nowadays. He gives us so much more opportunities to get it right. Verse 18. Consider now from this day forward, from the 24th day of the ninth month. Well, let me say it this way. Consider from this day forward, what's this, the 18th day of January, 2013? 20th? How did it get there? So consider this from January 20th, 2013, this day forward. From the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Do you know it's good to have things in your life that is a memorial of the day when something changed? It's good to have a memorial of a change in your life. And I'm declaring by faith in Jesus' name today that January 20th, 2013, change has come to us. Faith without works, James said, is what? Dead. So it does not matter how much faith you say you have. It doesn't matter how many times you confess something that you have it. Unless there's works with it, it's dead. Right? This is how I know. Y'all remember that one time in my life I was without a vehicle for 9 months. I confessed over and over and over a little red Toyota four-wheel drive truck. That would have been about 1987, 1988. Have y'all ever saw me drive a little red Toyota truck? You can speak all you want to speak, but unless you got some action, some works to go with it, nothing has a reason for manifestation then. Faith without works is dead. In light of the message this morning, faith without seed sown, your faith is dead. I don't know why anybody here, because y'all have heard me say this several times, but I don't know how many people in this world that are believing God for things, but they're doing nothing that gives Him something He can take and multiply and make that grow. Even when Jesus fed the 5,000, He did not do a magician thing and say abracadabra and fish and bread appeared in these baskets. He took a couple of fish and some loaves that a little boy had and broke it and multiplied it. By the way, He blessed it before He did that. And so I want to tell you this morning that if there's things in your life that you want different in 2013 than you had in 2012 or any year prior to that, we got to start sowing toward that. Whether it's your finances, whether it's your family, it don't matter what it is, the kingdom of God works as a seed should be cast into the ground. Amen? All right, so if you still have lacking, if you're like these folks here in Haggai, and there's you went to the cupboard to get a loaf of bread to feed everybody's sandwiches, and you only had a half a loaf. Basically, that's what he was saying, right? If you find yourself like that year after year after year, let's change something. Let's change something. Verse 19. This is the one that I wanted to get us to. The verse I wanted to get us to. This is the King James Version. He asked this question: is the seed still in the barn? As yet, the vine, the fig tree, and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not yielded fruit. But from this day, I will bless you. I read that one time and I thought, the reason I hadn't got this in my life, the reason this is not working out like I thought it was supposed to, like what I read in the Word of God, it's because I've not been sowing seed. I mean, let me give you an example. Tom used to be a farmer. He's plowed many acres and sowed seed, right? Suppose he went up there one year and he said, you know what, I'm a man of faith now. And all from spring through summer to harvest time, he confessed, I'm going to have this great crop, this huge crop. And it's going to be more than enough to meet all of my needs, and I can give. And praise the Lord that my potatoes are going to make, my corn's going to make, all this stuff, this huge amounts. Come harvest time, and he goes out there to his field, and all there is grass and weeds. No potatoes, no corn, no wheat, no watermelons, whatever he harvested, whatever he was confessing. See where I'm headed with this one? Somebody's got to till the soil, put some seed in the ground. God's not a magician. He's a multiplier of seed sown. So let me ask you this morning, same thing Haggai asked the folks in the way back when. Where is your seed? Is it still in the barn? We say, well, Pastor, I don't have no seed to sow. Oops, don't say that, because I got a scripture to fix that. The Bible says that God will give seed to those who will sow it. And here's the cool thing about when God multiplies, his understanding of multiplication is far greater than mine. You know, Mark chapter 4 talks about the seed was sown on good ground produces some 30, some 60, some 100 fold. One time I thought, and was taught, I believe that's what I was taught, what I understood anyway, that 100-fold meant 100 times. No, that's not enough. You can plant one kernel of corn in the ground, it'll grow up, and normally it'll produce at least 2 ears of corn. Did y'all ever count how many kernels of corn's on an ear of corn? It's pretty much more than 100. Y'all remember the tomato plant I told you about? One little seed grew that tomato plant, and there was thousands of seeds produced off that plant, tomato plant. See, God's multiplication is, listen, it's huge. But you do need to give God something to work with. You need to sow something. And you need to sow it on good ground. You need to sow it on good ground. How many, if I throw 10 seeds on concrete, how many would come up? Zero. So it is important where you plant your seed. Okay, let me give you one more. Seed grows into a plant and produces fruit in the field where it's sown. If you're wanting an increase in the relationship with your spouse, where do you need to sow your seed? I think so. Mm-hmm. I do.
Mm-hmm. Allow the Lord in yourself, you know. But and it can feel futile.
Yes.
But you never know, like I said, you can play there a long time.
You know what? There's a scripture, Pastor Scripture talks about for a seed to grow, it first must die. Help you with that one?
Yeah.
Obviously the Bible is very clear. The Word of God is seed. That's what the seed is. Word of God also says that the Word of God effectively works where God sends it to work. The seed in their life that needs to come up and produce in them is for salvation. And there is basically, and I may have some disagreement on this, but that's okay. Basically, for the unbeliever, The only thing they can understand is salvation until they're saved, till they're renewed, you know, and then they can be received other things of God. But the thing that we're talking about now this morning, my intent is to talk to believers today who have been struggling, who have had lack in their life, knowing that Jesus wants us to have an abundance in our life, and what we can do to trigger, if you will, that promise of provision in God's life, in our life. Is that okay? Does that help you? Okay. Now, your question was, did I believe ungodly would be poor seed? In light of, let me say it this way. Okay, don't nobody get mad at me. How many of you ever gives money to somebody knowing far well that they were going to go buy drugs or alcohol with it or waste it in some way? I submit to you that's not good soil. That's the seed that's sowed by the wayside that the enemy's going to come and devour it and take that seed away. See what I'm saying? Good ground to sow your seed in is in the kingdom of God, of which we all are, if we're saved. I know a couple, and I don't want to embarrass them because they're here this morning. They give to individuals often. I've seen it time and time again. And I also know that their initials is Dean and Doris. Hope I ain't embarrassing you guys, but I got to use it for a point. I have been recipient of seed they've sown, and some of you in this church have been recipient of seeds that they've sown. Dean is planning a, make sure I get this right, a trip to Russia this spring, in June. And about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, a church, where at? Walker, Louisiana, gave him a $5,000 toward that trip. I'm telling you, I can tell you right now, the seed they sowed was not $5,000. It was much less than that. But they were sowing seed, and God, in His ability to multiply, has already provided most of what they probably need. I say most, I'm not sure what they need. Almost all of it. How good is that? It is, isn't it? Hope that was all right. I should have asked first. They got their seed out of their barn and planted it. Amen? Another example. She's not here today, but Tansy. Tansy has been tithing and giving since she was, I don't know how young she was. I think she said seven, four. Was it four? Yeah. How much of her college did y'all pay? Zero? How good is that? See, when we give God something that He can multiply, He will multiply it. But a lot of people just cabbage onto it, hang on to it, hoard it, so to speak. And they go to their cupboards and they just got a half a loaf of bread. I'm helping us today. I'm not telling you this just because I heard somebody else say it. We apply these things to our life. It works. It works. Mark chapter 4, verse 30. I pretty much already told you this, but I'm going to read you a scripture anyway. Then he said, what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what parable shall we picture it? You get that? He said, I'm going to give you a picture of what heaven is like. What the kingdom of heaven is like, kingdom of God. It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all seeds of the earth. Can you imagine? The smallest of all seeds. Can I just tell you something today? Your seed does not have to be a huge seed. Because y'all remember the story of the widow with two mites? All the rich dudes come in and gave, I don't know, quite a bit. Here comes this widow, puts in two mites. I don't know how much two mites is, but it's got to be a little bitty tiny bit. Like a mustard seed, probably small. And Jesus said that she had given more than all of them, because she gave all she had. See, it's not a matter of how much actual dollar bill it is, it matters in here. There may be times when the Spirit of the Lord may speak to you and say, give 100 or 1,000, something like that. And if he does, listen, if you don't get anything else, I tell you this morning, get this. When the Lord speaks to you concerning your seed, he is already thinking about your harvest. He's wanting to give you more than he's asking you to give. Okay, but when it is sown, it grows up. You know what our responsibility is? Seed, time, and harvest. Our responsibility is to plant the seed and reap the harvest. God does the rest. He set a law in motion in the book of Genesis. He told us about it. Everything reproduces after its own kind. And here it says, when it is sown, it grows up. It's not like, well, maybe if everything's just right, it'll grow up. No, if you plant the seed, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs, shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Think about it. The smallest seed grows into a herb big enough for birds to settle in and under its shadow. That's some multiplication. That's some multiplication. That's some growing. This is how his kingdom works. He said, remember we started out? He started out, what shall we liken the kingdom of God to? Or what picture shall we compare it to? The kingdom of God works as a seed placed in the ground, and it grows. If we want the kingdom of God in our life to be all that God wants it to be, or all that God wants to give us, we've got to learn to sow seed. The Bible talks about casting our bread upon many waters. It comes back on every wave. But you got to keep planting seed. Say this with me. My seed will produce in my life. And I'm going to sow at every opportunity. In Jesus' name. Okay, y'all just made a confession. All right, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 10. But this I say, he who sows how? Will also reap. And he who sows will also reap. Can it get any clearer than that? This next part of that verse is important. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. There are times when the Holy Spirit will speak to you and say, I want you to give this person so much or for this offering or for whatever. There's times he does that. Please obey that because, again, he's already thinking about your harvest. But I like this. It says, so let each one give as he purposes in his own heart. I mean, I can choose what to give. And God is just as pleased and just as honored with my choice as he is when I'm obedient to him. Right? And then he multiplies the seed that I sow. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a what? I tell you what. If I find out God loves a cheerful giver, I'm going to try to be as cheerful of my giving as I possibly can. And God is able to make how much grace? All grace. To abound toward you. That you, always having all sufficiency in all things. And he'll cause all grace to heal. Grace to deliver. Grace to set you free. Grace to whatever you need. Is a direct result of giving. But I do want to be sure that the seed I sow is on good ground. Why does giving release all grace for that like that? Because where your heart is where your treasure will be. Where your heart is where you will give. And if your heart's in the Lord, there's something about that. One of the things that we hang on to the most is our money. We've been taught that. We was taught as kids to, growing up, to hang on to it. Here's the good news. The good news is, the Bible says that God will give us seed to sow and bread for our food. Bible's full of story about storehouses. God doesn't expect you to give it all. He wants to meet your needs, and he wants you to lay some in store for a future. That's wisdom. That's Bible wisdom. But the seed that God gives us, we certainly need to sow that seed. And here's the good news. The Holy Spirit is able to help you understand the part that's seed, the part that's bread, and the part that's for your storehouses. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have abundance to every good work. As it is written, he's dispersed abroad, he's given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown, increase the fruits of your righteousness. Do y'all know there's fruits for righteousness? And God will increase them? Based upon sowing, God will increase the fruits of your righteousness. You sow when your heart's right. Don't hear that? I very seldom ever look at the church records of what you guys give, with the exception of at the end of the year when they're all printed out to be mailed out, I look. I don't look so that I can see who's tithing and who isn't. That's not why I do. I look to see whose has changed. Because when somebody's giving changes, that means their heart has changed. Or their finances have went. And we all got quiet. The only reason I look is so I can determine where you are and what I'm able to do then, perhaps to help you. Y'all understand that when we receive an offering, or when I talk about money, it's never to get something from you, but it's to get something to you. I'm pretty confident in my ability to believe God and work and make us a living. So whether I get paid or don't get paid is irrelevant. We want to get something to you to help you prosper so that your life can be as much like Christ as possible. Because if there's lack in our life, we are as consumed by that lack as we are the temptations and desires of this life. So I want us all to live in the fullness of what Jesus died on that cross for us to have. And that's never to build our own kingdom. It's never to build our own selves up. But our heart should always be, according to Deuteronomy, where he said he gives us the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. Our goal should always be to honor Jesus, whether it's finances, our words, our actions, our lifestyle, should always be honor Jesus. Let me ask you again, where's your seed? Is it still in the barn? Or if it is, get that seed out and start sowing it. Talked a lot about from the money aspect of it this morning, but relationships between husband and wife, parents and children, start sowing into them things. There are some seed that's not money. You're not experiencing the love between you and your spouse that you should, or between you and your children. Go sow some love. Yeah. Go be lovable. Do unto others as you'd like them to do to you. Ain't that scripture? Or pretty close? One more scripture and we'll quit. Mark chapter 4, verse 24 tells us how we measure it out. It'll be measured back to us. Same principle of sowing sparingly or sowing bountifully. With the measure you meet is how it'll be measured back to you. Only thing is, when God measured it back, it comes back multiplied. It's not a measure of amount, it's a measure of the heart. You give from the heart, God gives from the heart. And he wants to bless you. He does not want lack in our life. Because lack can be, the love of money is the root of all evil. A poor person usually has more trouble with that than a wealthier person does. Now, there are some wealthy folks that are hung up on their money, and that's their savior, so to speak. I understand that. But I think there's more poor people struggling with that than there are wealthier people. I'm not sure y'all like that one. But I struggled with money before, when I didn't have any more than I do now. We're not wealthy, but as y'all can see, I eat well. I was telling a friend of mine the other day, y'all, I think most of you probably know that I do some trading in the stock market. And here a while back, I had made a trade that didn't work out like I planned. I lost $1,700 on that trade. And you know what? It did not hurt at all. It really didn't. Now, this past week when I made $800, I was very excited about that. When I lost that, it did not have the sting in it that it would have had 15 years ago. My point is, money does not consume my life like it did at one time. It didn't consume my thoughts. It's not my whole focus in life now. I still make it because we're supposed to. We're supposed to work with hands, right? Isn't that what the Bible said? God would bless work of our hands? Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. I experienced that one time. Let's learn by faith to sow seed. If you need something, sow seed. Sow seed. The kingdom of God works as a man casts seed into the ground. Amen? Did I help anybody this morning? Now, most of you probably already knew this. But I believe some strongholds come down this morning. Anytime God's word is declared, strongholds come down. Good strongholds are built up. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Amen? All right, won't you stand with me this morning?